Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to Risen Motherhood. Laura and I are so excited for you guys to hear today's special episode. It's an interview with Gloria Furman. We've been holding on to this for a little while now, and we know that you are going to enjoy hearing wisdom from her as much as we enjoyed having the conversation. So Gloria is a mom to four little ones, a wife to Dave Furman, and they actually live in Dubai, which you will hear more about their life. She's a writer, and she's on a lot of big websites like the Gospel Coalition, Desiring God. You've probably seen her stuff shared on our Facebook page and on our show notes. She's also an author, a speaker. She's a volunteer doula. So she does a lot of stuff, which is awesome. But we wanted to have her on the show specifically to talk about her new book, Missional Motherhood. Laura and I both read it. We loved it. We thought she did such a great job of just communicating how God speaks to moms through the redemption story. And today on this interview, you're going to hear Gloria talk about that in more detail. God's plan for moms since creation, just the way that sin affects everything we do, but there is still hope, and God has an ultimate future grace for us that we can cling to. She is also going to give some great practical ideas about how to preach the gospel to yourself and even how to have time with the Lord in the midst of really, really busy moments as a mom. So definitely stay tuned through the whole thing. There's some great nuggets there even at the end. We are so excited for you guys to listen in. So enjoy our interview with Gloria.
Well, hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on Risen Motherhood. We are so excited to have a very special guest here. We have Gloria Furman. We're actually all on a Skype call right now together chatting. We can see all of each other. It's so exciting. She actually lives in Dubai. So we are grateful, though, that she is willing to join us through technology. Very excited. And then, of course, I also have Emily, my sister-in-law here. She's also on the call. So, Gloria, do you want to just take a second to introduce yourself? We are thrilled that you're here, but we just love to know a little bit more about you. Can you tell us about your family, what you do, all of those good things?
Great. Everything in a nutshell. Thanks for having me. This is so fun. I love talking about these things, and it's really nice to have an adult conversation in the middle of the day. Thank you for providing that outlet for me. My name's Gloria. I have four kids. My husband is a pastor. We live in the United Arab Emirates, which is on the Arabian Peninsula. We've been here next week. It'll be 8 years. Wow. So this is home. Our kids don't know anything but the desert, so it's it's always fun to see them have culture shock when we go visit the United States, like we did this last summer. So we've just come off of a nice summer and then a holiday, and school's going to start in 12 days, but who's counting? So I'm counting down the days to school, and that's what I do, at least right now. And maybe when the kids are in school, I'll find a hobby or something. So,
So Gloria, you also do some writing. Tell us how that fits into your day.
You know, it fits into my night.
Your night? Yeah, I guess I should have assumed that.
Before I had a smartphone, I would keep like a little golf pencil and pieces of paper in my pocket. And then I would just write down words or phrases or Bible verses throughout the day and then compile them together and journal them out at nighttime. But then I got a smartphone. So fancy. And it has like this notes app on it. And so I just keep that in my pocket. So when words come to me throughout the day, I write them down, phrases, Bible verses, concepts, ideas, to keep them and then just kind of merge them onto a Word doc after the kids are in bed and I have some time and if we're not doing anything that evening. And so then it just all comes out. So writing doesn't really fit into the day per se.
We're in the same boat. We totally understand.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're recording with you our time at 6 a.m. So,
right. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, no worries. Okay. So I know that we wanted to jump in. The main topic of our conversation today was just kind of about how God speaks to moms through his word. I think Laura and I have experienced this before. We know we've talked to other moms who've been like, hey, we kind of wish there was like a mom's passage in the Bible. like 1 Corinthians 9, you know, the passage for moms instructions. But that's not really quite how God speaks to motherhood. Instead, you know, it is through this greater redemption story. And so we were just excited to have you on. So Gloria, can you just share with us a little bit like how God's redemptive plan speaks to moms?
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to. How much time do we have?
I know it's a loaded question.
Yeah, God's redemptive plan. You know, there's two ways to look at your motherhood, many ways, but two of them are with like a microscope. You can examine, how do I spend my afternoon? How can I maximize this time? Or let's think about this individual child and their challenges and struggles. Or look at the fridge. Goodness, something needs to go in it. What should I do? You can look at it with a microscope lens. You can also look at it from afar, from up high, and then use a telescope to look down. And you see the big picture. You see the landscape of where you've been and where you're going. The book Missional Motherhood is about how taking the big, long view helps recalibrate our ideas and our thinking about motherhood, which directly affects the way you think about those little things, like the individual children in your life, mm-hmm. or the people you're discipling, or the ministry you have in your home, and all those little details. So redemptive history, of course, stretches way back into eternity past, once upon a time before there was time in the mind of God. And we see that God is the author of motherhood. His idea in the first place, and he has goals and aims and ends for it, and all of it culminates in Christ being exalted above all things and all things being summed up in him. So motherhood isn't merely a social construct in which we nurture people who are helpless. So not with a secular mindset of like, well, we need moms because, you know, who would raise the little kids or who would clean the house or who would do those things. So not a social idea. Mm. But an eschatological idea, where all of these things are summed up in Jesus. So the book takes the long view, which is past potty training, though that seems so far away.
I know. Wait, we can make it past potty training.
Yeah, there's life beyond potty training.
Potty training or past high school graduation or past all of these other landmarks into eternity. So it takes the long view from eternity past and then to an eternity in the future. So all of that plays out, of course. We see it play out in redemptive history from the inception of motherhood to the redemption of it in Jesus, and then the future fulfillment of all the things that God set in place at the coming of Christ when he returns and sums up all things in himself and hands the kingdom to his Father. So all of that is discussed in the book. Yes. Because I have a word count, I wasn't able to make it a big, huge, fat book, which would have been just fantastic to tease all of that out. But the first half of it is going through the Old Testament and redemptive history, and then seeing nurturing work of women throughout that. And the second half is examining the person and work of Jesus and how he impacts our motherhood. How he's created it, he's redeeming it, he's our prophet, priest, and king, and all of those things.
So something that we talk about a lot on Risen Motherhood is just like kind of why things are like they are as in a mom's life, and then how God has provided like restoration or has redeemed those things and how we can see that. And so how would you say, I know you talk about this a little bit in the book, but can you just articulate for us a little bit how the fall generally impacts our motherhood and how like Eve's response to the snake kind of mimics our own response to temptation every day as a mom?
We have to understand that the fall fractured everything. everything, our bodies, the environment, the way that we think, the systems in place around us, everything is fractured by the fall. So chaos and disarray, nothing under the subjection of the Lord, as it's designed to be, as it ought to be, and as it will be. There's redemption and hope, because God is kind, and full of mercy. So when Eve and Adam fell, in the garden, God pronounced curses and judgment. But in the midst of that, he also gave them hope and said that he would send a deliverer, who would be the seed of a woman. So they're looking forward in anticipation to this deliverer coming through the seed of the woman. So there's redemption in there, but all of it is still fractured by our sin. So the way that we think about our motherhood, the way that we execute our motherhood, the way that other people respond to our motherhood, our intentions even, are all stained by sin. And so we have to see that all of this must and need be redeemed by the blood of Christ. He is our only hope in all of those things. It's not as though we could just have, well, I'll just do this part of my motherhood well, and then I'll give Jesus this other piece of it, and he'll help me. We can't have that view at all. We've got to have all of it in his hands, needing him prostrate every day. I need you for all of this. We can't hack any of it on our own.
I love, Gloria, how you were just talking about in the garden, you know, after sin and after the curse, in the midst of that, there was hope, and just how, as moms, we get to hope at what's coming as well. Just over the weekend, I was reading through 1 Thessalonians, and there's like these, you know, two sections in there about the coming of the Lord and the day of the Lord. And at the end of both of them, it says, encourage one another with these words. And I love that idea of encouraging each other as moms, that in the midst of our sin and, you know, everything in our day that's stained with sin, that we get to be encouraged by the fact that there is redemption coming, just as, you know, Adam and Eve experienced in the garden.
We're unashamedly supposed to pursue hope in the future grace that's coming to us. I think as moms, we feel guilty about not appreciating the here and now all the time perfectly, which I think is a natural, normal response to the sin. So all of this is not as it should be. And so we feel bad. Oh, I should be grateful. I should be overwhelmingly grateful all the time for all these things. And then you feel bad about hoping for the future when all things are summed up in Jesus. But we're explicitly told to look forward to that future grace and encourage each other with those words too. So, I love that you brought that up.
That is really interesting. Next time I'm tempted to look ahead to bedtime, I'm going to go, no, there's something even better I can do.
You can look ahead to bedtime too. That is a future grace.
And go, this is pretty normal.
That's a future grace. I love it. So how, just practically for you personally, I know you have all these amazing concepts and just really are able to synthesize these biblical truths in the book. But like for you personally, like, let's just talk about on a day when, I know you just got done swimming with your kids earlier before this call, but on a day when some of these things, you know, you're handling a lot and no one's really giving anything back, and it's sort of, you know, frustration after frustration as a mom, what are some things that you do to really apply your understanding of these truths to change your interaction with your children and your family and your ability to serve them? What does that look like for you personally?
I have to talk to myself. There's the idea of preaching the gospel to yourself. It's now becoming more common catchphrase, which I think is fantastic, to preach the gospel to yourself. Remind yourself of these big picture truths and how they anchor in your heart, in your living room, in your bathroom, in the doctor's office, in the pickup line at school. These things land in real life. And so I have to talk to myself. There was dramatic uncertainty just a couple weeks ago concerning administrative stuff, and just in my tears, I had to tell myself, you believe in the man who rose from the dead. Don't forget, you believe in the man who rose from the dead. You follow him. He rose from the dead. Like, he's alive. I'm reminding myself of Easter. The tomb is empty. Mm-hmm. They couldn't find his body because he's alive. And tell myself, this is the man that you worship. Could you ask him for help? And so that recentered my thoughts from woe is me and what am I going to do, to let's ask him to do something. It sounds dramatic, but it's not nearly dramatic enough, considering the stone was rolled away and they didn't find him. He's alive. He presented himself to 500 people and ascended back into heaven, brought his flesh up there with him. There's a man seated on the throne in heaven. So it's not dramatic enough to tell yourself these big, crazy things. I believe in the man who rose from the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe God created everything. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, took every single one of my sins with him. It might look a little crazy if someone sees you speaking to yourself, hopefully it's modeling for others around you, the people you disciple, your kids as well, and maybe even your neighbors, you've got to have your mind renewed with the truth, because if you're just looking to the other things that you see around you, the things that you can see, we're just prone to forget the things we can't see,
I think that's a good point about just like meditating on God's power over death and God's power and knowledge of everything. And I know so often when I'm like, you know, dealing with a behavior situation, I rarely stop to ponder, like, God knows everything about this child and what's going on in his mind and what's going on in his heart and what he needs. And, you know, just that, like you mentioned, Gloria, to stop and claim those truths that, you know, there is someone who has power over this and has access to this child and has a plan for this child. Man, how much that would change our day to stop and think about.
Another fun practical thing to do, do a little bit of a word study-ish kind of thing in Revelation and just look up all the ways that Jesus introduces himself. Who does he say he is? In John's apocalyptic vision, he says things, dramatic things, like, I have the keys to death and Hades.
Mic drop.
All right. I have a sword in my mouth. It's my word that stands. Every other word that comes, I cut it down. It's my word. Behold, I'm the risen one. I was dead, yet now I'm alive. Thinking about truth. Practically, you might need to put it in different places to find it. Bibles, different places of your house, write things down, put it in your pocket, lock screen on your phone, whatever it is you need to remind yourself. Because the course of this world isn't going to affirm God's truth for you or tell you, hey, think about the word.
Yeah.
it does everything to affirm distraction from the truth. So
sure.
Just add that to the list of practical things.
Yeah. And a major place, I think, you know, where we can get that is in our quiet time. And that's something that, you know, is having that each day, as we talk about a lot, just like getting in God's word and soaking in his truth and sort of getting your mind set right before, you know, we engage with the day. Or a lot of times, as you probably remember as a young mom, or maybe it's still like it's sometime throughout the day, you know, you're just hoping that you can fit it in, or even just reading it at the counter for a couple minutes. But what would you say, like, what are you doing right now for quiet times? Like, we just love to hear kind of what that's looking like for you, and maybe even when you were a mom with a lot of littles, how that was fit into your day or what you did for it.
Yeah. I have four kids. My husband is a busy pastor. He's also physically disabled, so he needs help with some things every day at different times of the day. So I've really struggled to find just, I don't want to use the word, I don't like it, me time. 'Cause there wasn't any. And I would think that if I could finally wake up before a baby needed to be first, or before Dave needed to get out the house, and then someone interrupted me, I would, oh, Satan's trying to get me. Mm. but he's not. Yeah. The Lord giving me ministry opportunities. Mm. There's nothing hostile in that. And so I began to appreciate having noisy time too. Mm-hmm. And then having the time in the Bible, reading it aloud. And so now the kids just know if they see me with a Bible open and they want to come sit on a couch, they're just going to hear it. So I'll just talk it out loud. Mm-hmm. And then now they're old enough to discuss things and ask mm-hmm. questions about it. But when they were little, they would just sit and listen like it was a book. Mom's reading a book on the couch. Mm-hmm. So they just cuddle up. So instead of it being like private time, it's kind of mm-hmm. a family feast idea. Mm-hmm. And now I see them doing it to each other, which is so sweet to see, reading aloud, and whoever's available to listen to it, they'll read it aloud. I read through a whole book at a time and then try to read it as many times as I can mm-hmm. straight through first, and then start digging through slowly, piece by piece. So the last 2 years, before the summer, I think I spent about 2 years in Ephesians.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Just read it. I don't know how many times I've read it all the way through, but then it, you know, took a verse at a time and then sat down with some books and commentaries around it and wrote after all of that. And so, that's usually what it looks like, is just doing a book at a time.
Yeah.
Like that. So, yeah.
Very cool.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's right. I've never even crossed my mind to say, oh, I'll spend that much time in a book, but I can't imagine the truths and just like how well you know God's word when you do that.
Yeah. And I love how you mentioned in the middle of it, that'll stick with me, God's giving me opportunities for ministry yes. right now. Because you're right, I'm usually like...
Right. Yeah, I totally can see my kids as an interruption of like the Lord or of Satan coming in and saying, no, no quiet time. So I love that. What a shift in perspective. I love that.
Yeah.
It really helped. It helped me to think of my sisters here who don't have the liberty to have me times mm. and stuff like that. Just think about your sisters across the globe. Women who live in refugee camps, women who work 7 days a week, women who live in accommodations with dozens of other women, believers, sisters who are struggling to have these things, the idyllic situation where we think God's going to meet me if I have a latte and a fluffy chair, then he will meet me.
Yes.
The Lord will meet you in his word wherever it is around the world and whatever opportunities you have and whatever the means may be. Mm-hmm. For that just strongly encourages my faith that he'll be with me. He said he'd be with me. Mm-hmm. Promised, swore, I will be with you. Especially when I think about all the women who don't have opportunities to, like, I'm sitting in a nice fluffy chair right now. yeah.
That's a really good reminder. I know that's something that Laura and I are learning a lot with young children, and that we often try to communicate is like, how much discipleship is walking with God and treasuring the gospel in front of our children, just like letting them in and bringing them alongside us and what we're already doing, instead of seeing it as this like compartmentalized thing where it's like, okay, I'm going to do my prayer, my quiet time and my stuff over here. And then, you know, I'll do my stuff with my kids later. And certainly, you know, that alone time with God is so refreshing and so necessary. But like you were mentioning, just bringing your kids alongside you, hey, come sit by me. Like, mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. is how we do the Christian life. This is how we live out the gospel. And
this book is for you too.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Oh, well, awesome. Well, Gloria, is there anything that you, I know we talked about this sort of in and out throughout the whole conversation, but just like, you know, what would you charge moms to say, to encourage them to stay focused on that eternal picture when they're really just ready to give up hope, or they're ready to sort of, you know, throw in the towel for the day and just say, whatever, we're going to just kind of survive until bedtime. You know, what's just one tip of hope that you would offer them to stay focused on God's redemptive plan?
Yeah. Know the redemptive plan, know that big picture plan,
yeah.
I think we tend to get discouraged if we try to dive into a piece of the Old Testament and then, oh, I don't understand the historical context. I don't know why this guy's upset at that guy. I just give up. I'll stick with something I know. Take some time and just do it. Read through the whole Testament. Get a big overview Bible, a Bible reading plan, and just do it. It's worth losing sleep over. And when I tell that to women, their eyes just get so big. I'm like, no, it really is. It, trust me. I have four kids. My husband's asleep. We're very busy. It is worth losing sleep over. This is your very life. Like you need this more than you need sleep. You really do. Read Psalms. find overview books. The first half of Missional Motherhood is intended to serve that purpose. Graham Goldsworthy has some really great overviews as well. I think they're highly accessible. According to Plan is my favorite one to give away to new believers. And take time to do that. And then when you jump into an Old Testament book, you'll know where it fits, and then you'll appreciate it all the more because you understand that big picture. So that's the first tip I would say is get to know that big story. And so when you do grab that 5 minutes here or there, or that 1 minute here or there, and you can read something in the Word, or you're reminded by something that you stored in your heart, it just means volumes more, because you get it. Like, you know the impact of this one phrase. And I would also encourage, I like to encourage women with the verse from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, where he says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. He's speaking to the Corinthians about the gift, the offering that he's collecting, giving out of their poverty and the offerings collecting. But I think as mothers and women who are making disciples, we're giving, giving, giving. But guess what? God's able to make all grace abound to you. So you may think you're out giving everybody else, but you will never outgive God, as he makes all grace abound to you. And I love the phrases Paul uses. So, all sufficiency in all things at all times. So there's no time around the clock, no 2 a.m. feeding, no 4 p.m. pickup time that is not encompassed in this verse. And it's so that you can abound in every good work. And of course, these good works that he's talking about are not to earn our salvation, but they're expressions of the gift that we've been given in Jesus' ultimate gift of himself on the cross.
Wow. That is such an encouraging truth. I feel so ready. Meet the day. And
I know.
Go meet the day.
Yes. I feel like I found my next verse to memorize and to have, you know, my husband learn. And just, I want all my mom friends to know that. I think that's a wonderful reminder of truth.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, okay, well, Gloria, that about wraps up our time, but we are so grateful that you joined us, and I think that's about it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Gloria.
Well, thank you, ladies. This was so fun.
Yeah, it was. Thank you so much.
Oh man, I just loved that talk with Gloria. It was so enjoyable. And if you want to hear more from her, definitely check out her book, Missional Motherhood. It has this awesome gold foil cover that I'm completely obsessed with. So if nothing else, get it for the cover, because it's beautiful. But there is wonderful content in there. And of course, you can find more from Gloria all over the web. As Emily mentioned at the beginning of the show, you can find her on some major websites, as well as on her blog, GloriaFurman.com. There you'll find all of her social media sites. And in addition, of course, you'll want to check out our show notes. We'll have some great links for some of the stuff that Gloria talked about in the show, as well as links to several of her different things and where you can buy the book. I know you can get it on Amazon.com. And in addition, I know there's a companion study out from Lifeway that you can find. So if you want to study that with a group of women, they've made it very easy to add that additional study in. So all the hard work's done for you there. So, in addition, if you're international, bookdepository.com also will ship Gloria's book to you for free. So definitely check that out, and visit risenmotherhood.com just to get all the links to all of this stuff and to find us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all of those good things. And as always, we would really appreciate a review if you enjoyed the show today over on iTunes. So thanks again for joining us.